The latest Marquette Law School poll is out 26 days before the November general election. We're breaking down the numbers here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It surveyed 805 registered voters this time around. It was conducted between September 30th and last Sunday. So that was in the wake of the first presidential debate and President Trump testing positive for COVID. The poll asked about the mask mandate. 72% of respondents favor the requirement to wear masks in public. Do you? How much attention do you pay to polls less than a month to Election Day? We're at 800-642-1234. Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School Poll, a professor of law and public policy. He's co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Well, we all want you to lay out for us what you saw in the presidential candidates and what the voters are thinking.
Well, what we've seen is a lot of stability is probably the quick take on this, that the vote has moved only very little, very modestly over the summer. Views favorable and unfavorable of President Trump and of Vice President Biden have also moved only a little bit. Though the Vice President Biden's net favorability, his percent favorable minus unfavorable, has moved into positive territory for the first time in this month's poll. He had been a little bit net negative before. He became a little bit net positive, so about a 5-point total shift. And President Trump became 1 point less net negative, though he struggled to get his favorability into positive territory. And we saw that the views of the debate were pretty one-sided, but that doesn't seem to have moved votes particularly. Instead, people tended to see their candidate doing well, or they thought both had done badly.
And when you say one-sided, clarify for us.
Yeah. When we asked, regardless of how you're voting, who do you think did best in the presidential debate? 41% said Biden, 20% said Trump, but 14 said they were both did badly, and a rather large 21% said they didn't pay any attention to the debate. There was a good partisan split on that. Among Republicans, 9% said Biden did best, 41% said Trump did best, but 21% of Republicans said they were both bad, and 25% said they didn't pay attention. Democrats were more positive towards Biden, 76% said he did best, just 1% of Democrats said Trump did best, and only 6% of Democrats thought they were both doing badly. And a little bit smaller, 15% of Democrats said they hadn't paid much attention. Okay. So that's the kind of partisan filter we often see, rooting for your side. But in this case, Democrats a bit more solidly seeing their candidate doing best. Republicans a bit more scattered with that substantial amount, 46% saying they were either both bad or they didn't pay much attention.
If you're just joining us, we have Charles Franklin as our guide, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. New poll came out yesterday. He's breaking it down for us with your questions as well at 800-642-1234. It's amazing to me, Charles, that with all the turbulence that we've seen play out here in the recent weeks, that's just not moving numbers. These are really stable numbers.
They really are, and it is striking. It has been, you know, in one sense, it has been all year. In another sense, it's been pretty stable throughout the Trump presidency. If you look at Gallup polling, his job approval number has varied less, and not by a little bit, a lot less than any other president since Franklin Roosevelt. Obama had been the previous low variability president, but Trump is well below Obama as well. And that reflects the partisan polarization we're living in. If we look at vote, likely voters give Biden a 5-point edge right now, 46% for Biden, 41% for Trump, 4% for Libertarian Joe Jorgensen. and about 9% are undecided. That number has varied only a little bit since May.
You mean the 9% undecided?
No, I beg your pardon. I meant, well, the 9% also is very little, but I meant to say that the vote split has not varied much. In May, Biden was ahead by 4, then in June by 6, then by 5, then by 4, and this month by 5. So you can see that really about a 5-point lead, give or take one, is really all we've seen since May. And while granted the big news of the year was the coming of COVID earlier in the year, a lot has happened over the summer, and yet there's very little change here in the vote split.
Well, let's look at how voters felt about President Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis. What did you see there?
Well, first of all, our poll was being conducted while he got admitted, or it straddles it. So the first two nights were before he went to the hospital and got the diagnosis. The last three nights were afterwards. But we don't actually see very much movement in views of the president or his handling of COVID in that time. I will say that that's not very much time for the news to sink in. But 52% said they believed that in-person rallies should stop. 37% thought they should continue. This is after he was admitted to the hospital. But on the debates, it was the other way around. 67% thought the debate should go ahead, just 27% canceled them. And so there's a difference in the views there. Also, people were still learning about the president's illness. Mm-hmm. 33% thought it was a mild case of COVID, 13 moderate, and 11 thought it was serious or very serious. But fully 37% over the weekend said they hadn't heard enough about it yet to know whether it was a serious case or not.
Let's switch over to look at the vice presidential candidates. What did you measure there? What did you glean?
Two things. We looked at favorability of both of the candidates. And then we also asked in this weekend set of interviews after Trump was diagnosed, how people felt about them becoming president and taking over the duties of president. Let's do favorability first. It's fairly even. 41% had a favorable view of Pence, 42% an unfavorable view. Notice that leaves 17% who were unable to rate him. And with Senator Harris, 37 favorable, 40 unfavorable, and about 23% unable to rate her. It's not surprising that even after 3.5 years as vice president, there's still a significant percentage that don't have feelings about Vice President Pence, and Senator Harris not holding such a visible office even more. As for whether people were comfortable or had confidence that Pence could assume the duties of president if needed, 33% were very confident he could do that, 23% not very. And for Harris, it was 25 and 20 for those two numbers. So a little more confidence in the sitting vice president, a little less in the senator who's nominated for the office.
We are breaking down the new Marquette University Law School poll with its director, Charles Franklin. What do you make of opinion changing very little on the presidential race since last month's poll? Did anything surprise you, stand out to you about the latest Marquette poll? Views on the economy have turned sharply downward since February. We'll dig into that more. We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Charles Franklin here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're breaking down the new Marquette University Law School poll, less than a month to the November 3rd election. We have the poll's director, Charles Franklin, as our guide to the poll. It takes a read on everything from the president's approval rating, fears of catching COVID-19, to closer to home, Governor Evers' approval rating. Your questions about the poll, they're welcome. 800-642-1234. And poll director Charles Franklin stays with us for 10 more minutes. So, Charles, I want to take a look at what you heard from respondents on the economy, because I think you're seeing some, trending there that the economy is getting worse. What did the respondents say?
Yeah, we asked people two questions. One is the economy better now than it was 12 months ago, or has it stayed the same? Has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse or stayed the same? And that took a understandably very sharp negative turn back in January and February. 31 and 32% more said it was getting better than getting worse. Then when COVID hit and the economy shut down, we saw that number drop considerably. This month, the net is negative 26, meaning 26% more say it's gotten worse than say it's gotten better. That is slightly up from negative 34 last month. But it shows that people are responding to the dramatic change that hit the economy in the spring with the shutdowns and the reopenings at varying paces since then. But the flip side is that when we ask about what about a year from now, will the economy get better over the next year or get worse? 30% more say it will get better than get worse, 48 to 18. And this has held up since the economy turned down. We saw a net 21 last month, a net 31 the month before. So it's fluctuated a little bit, but it's quite positive. In fact, more positive than it was back in January and February. So I do think that fundamental optimism about the future is fairly striking, and it's been consistent over the last 3 months that people remain optimistic about the future, even as, if anything, they've gotten a little more negative about how much things worsened over this last year.
Right. Even in the turmoil, they're holding on to some hope here. They're seeing something that is making them hopeful. Let's bring in Daryl now from Menominee Falls. Hi, Daryl.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I wanted to comment about the debates last night, and specifically about Pence bringing up the fact that the American people have sacrificed a lot in this pandemic. And unfortunately, it's true, they have, and a lot of times sacrificed their own life because of a president who still downplays and ignores all the advice of the health experts that he has on staff. He still appears on television without a mask, downplays all the important protocol about safety with the pandemic, and also has come on television and say, don't be afraid of this, when in fact people should be very aware of how important this is, and he just has no regard for their safety. He's the one that is setting the example for the American people.
Daryl, I'm going to jump in here. Thank you for your comments. And we are going to, in about 8 minutes or so, be talking about last night's vice presidential debate. Daryl brings up several things here, Charles Franklin. Also, one thing is the mask wearing, which you saw some pretty stark numbers on.
Right, we did. We just asked, should masks be required in all public places? 72% said they should. 26% disagreed with that. That's up just slightly from August, when the mask mandate first went in here in the state. At that point, 69% approved of them, 29% disapproved. And it's striking that across the regions of the state, we see a majority, at least 60%, in every region of the state who agree that the mandate should be required. We didn't ask it in terms of a mandate, just should they be required in public places. There's almost no regional split. Support is 74% in Green Bay. It's 66% in the north and west of the state from Wausau over to the Twin Cities and further north. That's the one region where support actually has gone up over the last 2 months. It was 60% in that region back in August and 66. Now, there is a partisan split. Democrats are unanimous, 98-1 in favor of the mass. Independents, 66-28. But Republicans are evenly split, 47 in favor of mass, 49 opposed. So there is a partisan split, but the Republican Party itself is evenly split on masks.
We're talking with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. He's breaking down the new poll results with analysis there on what they might mean with historical trend lines as well. He's taking your call on the questions about the poll at 800-642-1234. Charles, I hear these echoes of partisan split. And one of those areas, I think, as well, is the percentage of people who say they'll vote in person on Election Day. What did you see there in those numbers?
Yeah, this is a sharp split, but it's also one that's been changing a bit over time.
Okay.
Overall, 32% now say they'll vote absentee by mail, 54% in person on Election Day, and 10% vote early by in person. But that's quite a shift from what we saw earlier in the year when many more folks were saying they would vote absentee by mail. The party split here is also striking. 18% of Republicans voting absentee by mail, 69 in person. For Democrats, 47 by absentee in mail, 39 in person. But if we go back a ways, that has been coming down, and it's coming down all year, really, since May when we first, May when we first asked about this. As a result, while there is still a strong partisan split by ballot type, it's a good deal smaller than it was back in May when we first, coming out of the April election, were thinking about a much heavier vote by mail.
Yeah. Do we know why this is a partisan issue?
Well, I think, first of all, it's presidential leadership, opinion leadership within the party. Donald Trump has raised doubts about vote by mail from the beginning. It's argued that it's fraudulent or potentially fraudulent. And his party's supporters have rallied behind that position and, in fact, have after initially being more positive than they are now, have become less positive about voting by mail within Republicans. Democrats, on the other hand, remain more favorable to it, but with doubts raised about the Postal Service and other things, have sort of pulled back from that initial favorability, even though, as I say, still a plurality, 47-39, still say they plan to vote by mail.
Let's look at the nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Do voters think Congress should move to confirm her before the election?
Yeah, for a small majority, no. 44% say the Senate should vote before the election, but 51% say wait until after the election and then decide whether or not to vote. No surprise in a big party split on this. 81% of Republicans say vote now. 90% of Democrats say wait until after the election. And independents are almost evenly split, 39-41 on this.
All right. Well, you know, over a third of respondents said they've stopped talking about politics with someone in their lives. Can you tell us more about that question?
Yeah, this is one that we first asked during the recall election in 2012, when it seemed like partisan divisions had become so incredibly strong. Back then, about 33%, 32% said that they had stopped talking to someone about politics because of conflict over the election. This fall, it's 36% who've stopped talking, 63% who have not. In October of 2016, it was 34-65, pretty much the same thing. But once more, a bit of a party divide. Only 28% of Republicans have stopped talking and 29% of independents. But fully 46% of Democrats say they've stopped talking to someone. And that is up 7 points from where Democrats were 4 years ago.
Charles, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. Coming up, we recap last night's vice presidential debate. Did you tune into it? What are your takeaways on issues like the pandemic, healthcare, and the economy? Join in on your reaction, 800-642-1234. We'll be back to talk about it right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.